Our text for this morning you can find in your bulletin, or if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, it's really on now, verses 27 and 28. So let's read our text from God's Word. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's the word of the Lord. I have yet to hear anyone say the words, "I do not want to be blessed by God." Maybe someone somewhere sometime has said them, but I've not yet run into that person. In fact, the desire to be blessed by God is universal. We all want it. It's a human desire, and it's a good desire. And the Jews in Jesus' day, they had the same desire. They were the same. Now let's, as we begin, let's set a little bit of background for what's going on in Luke's gospel so far. You may remember that Luke is writing his gospel to a Gentile man named Theophilus to confirm to him the teaching about Jesus. And more closer to our text, in chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's making his way down to go to his final Passover before his death, resurrection, and ascension. And in this series of events, we've seen Jesus do healings and teachings. And most recently, there's been a challenge to his authority, as we saw last week, which he has overcome. There's something different about this Rabbi Jesus, something special. And that is the backdrop into which our text speaks. So let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much that you have chosen to meet with us, that you have elected us for relationship with you. We thank you that you have reached into a broken world and chosen sinners to redeem them for your own glory and that of your Son. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that we are fallen, that we still need you, that any external means that we would do are only by your grace and your provision. Teach us this morning. Bless us with your presence as we seek to learn how to be blessed. And we ask these things knowing that you are good and that you love us dearly and want to be in relationship with us. So we pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We use the word bless, blessing, be blessed in so many different ways. In fact, as we have been doing our order of service, you've heard probably three to five different ways that we can use the word bless or blessing. We can call a blessing to God. We can ask for God to bless us. We can ask just for a blessing. And in the wider world, this is a problem. What is blessing? We can illustrate this problem perhaps by a couple of examples. I confess I'm a father of young children, so the first one will give that away. If you've seen the movie Despicable Me, which I'm hearing some chuckles, if you've seen the movie Despicable Me, you'll see these adorable orphans who desperately want a home. And at one point, these three girls are doing the stereotypical kneel beside the bed, hands folded, and praying, and they begin every petition with, "Bless that this will happen. Bless, yada, yada, yada." They're meaning bless, apparently, in the sense of please give or respond. Or have you ever gotten one of those doilies in the mail? And if you don't know, a doily is basically the decorative napkin. I've never understood why they exist, but they do. If you've ever received one, you'll usually get a doily in a letter or just kind of taped up, and you'll see a little card on it, and it'll say, you know, "We are this church," you know, a name of a church, an address, a phone number, and they'll say, you know, "We are ministers of this and this," and they'll say, you know, "We really could use a donation, and if you will donate to us, we will pray that God will bless you." So is God's blessing something that people mediate? Or my favorite, being a good South Carolina boy, is, "Bless your heart." I admit there have been a few select people who I think were genuine in that statement. But most of the time, of course, we know means a little different than blessing. I say that just to point out the fact that blessing, the entire concept, yes, as humans, we want blessing, but we're a little bit confused about what is it? What does it mean? And further, I think all of us as Christians who believe in Christ, we would affirm that God loves to bless his people. We would affirm that God wants to. It's just part of his character. But the problem is, when we look at our world, do we see blessing in all instances? If God wants to bless, why can't we see it? And in our fallen state, we're sinners who are still being redeemed. In our fallen state, we so often believe that blessing is reserved for special people, for people who do extraordinary things, things that are beyond what any of us can do. We've bought into that. And I think that Luke wants to tell us that blessing in God's eyes is different. And if we'll listen to the words of Jesus, our Lord, in Luke's gospel, he'll tell us how we can have access to blessing. And we'll see, we're going to make three observations about blessing. First of all, we're going to define it. What is blessing? That's our first issue. The second is, what's the wrong way to go about trying to be blessed? And third, what's the right way? So we're going to look at blessing, we're going to look at the wrong way, and then the right way. So let's begin with blessing. If I were to state it simply, in the Bible, the blessing that we're talking about today is life at its fullest, lived with God. Living with God in the fullest sense in this life. And Luke, he wants to show us how blessing is different than the world system thinks it is. The way that the world operates about blessing and the way that God operates are not one and the same. We'll also note that in the Bible, you'll actually see that there are several types of blessing. The first big distinction is when we declare a blessing to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's blessing which humans receive. And that can be God giving something to someone, or it can be a state of being, the way that life is. And that second, the state of being, is what we're talking about today. We'll call it the blessed state. The state of blessing with God. That's what we're focusing on. And one thing that causes confusion is how the idea of blessing is communicated. Even in the Old Testament, a very familiar psalm to most of us is the first psalm. Blessed is the man, I'm not quoting the King James, this will be the ESV. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, and it goes on. Blessed is the man. We might paraphrase, how good for, or how fortunate, or some even would say happy, in a happy state. But we see in Psalm 1 that he has physical blessings. Everything he does prospers. And so we see that in the Old Testament, often the physical and the spiritual get talked about at the same time. And that can cause an issue. But Luke is at pains to point out that blessing in the kingdom of God is actually a little different. If we look in Luke chapter 6, several chapters before this, in verses 20 through 23, Luke gives his Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. And in that, right at the end, in verse 23, he says, rejoice, for your reward is in heaven. Blessed are you. Jesus actually says that people who are lowly, poor, suffering, can be blessed now. That surely is a little bit different than the way we tend to think. But also, we see a little bit further, if we jump to Luke 10:23, that Luke wants to show us that blessing is primarily related to knowing Christ. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, blessed are you, for you have seen and heard these things which rulers have wanted to see. A significant part of blessing for Luke is relationship with God, being in a blessed relationship with Christ. And a brief note that I want to make that we will come back to at the end is remember that in Jesus' day, the majority of people were very poor. The majority of people were day laborers, barely able to make enough money to feed their families. So we're going to keep in context that this promise of future reward, this blessed state, also offered them immense hope in their time. Now, as we've talked about blessing here and defining that it's about relationship with God, living life at its fullest under the authority and in friendship and companionship and submission to God, it probably brings up some questions about relevance. You know, what? You know, how does this show up? Or, for me, have you ever had friends who were who believed that every blessing was physical and material? If you haven't met people like that, you're going to. You'll hear it if you watch any type of television preaching. You'll hear it a lot. Or if you run into people who believe the so-called name it, claim it theology, the thought basically goes that we see blessings, material blessings in the Bible, and we see that so often it takes faith to receive those. So if you have faith, then these blessings can be yours now. In fact, I had a boss that I worked for who would rather frequently, you know, speak things that he wanted, and then you tack on the name of Jesus. So it would be something like, you know, well, no one's going to get injured at work today. This was construction, so injuries, I was very prone to clumsiness. But the thought would go, no one's going to get injured today in the name of Jesus. Well, is Christ's name a token that guarantees that we can have what we want? I think we'll readily see that the idea that blessing has to be material and physical now causes problems. And it really, that's a theology for the up-and-ups, for the winners. But what it comes down to is if we believe that blessing is about physical now, it's oppressive. It pushes people down. Because if you are not experiencing that kind of blessing, then you must not have faith. The thought goes, if you're sick, you must not have faith. In fact, I heard a whole sermon entitled The Authority of the Believer, where some guy was talking about how his kids never get sick. Because every time that they would say they're getting sick, he'd say, no, you're not. Claim it in the name of Jesus. So the thought, just the idea that if you're sick at all, that you're lacking faith. Or what if you lose your job and you work diligently to try and find ways to provide for your family and you can't? Is your faith lacking? This is not the way that blessing works in God's eyes. Blessing is primarily relationship with God. It's not a guarantee of things here and now. And because that's true, we can look for evidence of God's gracious hand in our lives everywhere. And it also means, as Jesus said, blessing can be received and experienced even in suffering and hardship, because blessing is about relationship with God and pulls us into deeper relationship with Him. So as we encounter difficulties or good things, we always need to focus on how is God drawing me to Himself? Blessing is fullness of life lived with God. Now we've worked on kind of defining what blessing Jesus is talking about here. Let's move towards what's the wrong way. How might we try to be in this blessed state? Or what might we try to do or think that'll get us there? Another way to think about it would be, do prestigious Christians, John Piper, Tim Keller, do they receive special blessing from God because of their position? Now, if they were in this room right now, they would be shaking their heads adamantly, no. But again, we buy into the idea that it takes special people to receive God's blessing in a unique way. But if blessing is relationship with God, Luke is going to tell us that God's system inverts that. Now, the woman who speaks up in verse 27 in our text, she just speaks up as Jesus is teaching. He's proved himself to be a special teacher. She speaks up and she pronounces the blessing. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. This is not the way that we would pronounce this blessing, I don't think, perhaps, but we clearly understand that she's talking about Mary, Jesus' mother. She's declaring a blessing on Mary through Jesus' ability as a teacher. And the way that they're thinking, this is something you can see in the way that rabbis at the time were writing and thinking, and it's the way we tend to think, that if I could just have a son like you, then my life would be better. That would be proof that God's hand was on me, that I would be in relationship, something special and unique in that relationship. Now, we do need to acknowledge that Luke himself in chapter 1 does, through the mouth of Gabriel, says that Mary is blessed. There is something. Of course, she bears the Messiah. That is special. But Jesus is going to point out that that's not the full picture. The thought in the culture is that that son, that special child, that's going to afford something unique or special. And immediately, as I've mentioned, John Piper, Tim Keller, these people that we would consider the greats, the giants of the faith, do we expect that that is going to give something special? But because Jesus says in the text, verse 28, blessed rather, he's going to give a contrast. He's going to turn that over. So Jesus' words show us that being well known or bearing positions and titles, they don't guarantee anything. So we think of great leaders, you know, maybe Martin Luther, who had the courage in Christ to stand up to a corrupt system of church government in medieval Europe. We may think of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who are willing to give their lives in obedience to Christ. They're special. But someone we might not think of is John Wesley's mother. Now, I realize we're in the PCA, but John Wesley was still a man of God. So, I feel justified in mentioning him. Or substitute George Whitefield if you're more comfortable. John Wesley, very influential man in American Christianity and in Great Britain. But his mother, Susanna Wesley, arguably is the reason that John Wesley, other than the grace of the Holy Spirit, but she was the human means through which John Wesley was so influenced, and his brother Charles. Susanna Wesley was a stay-at-home mom. She spent time every day before lunch and dinner educating her children, and their education was Greek and Latin, which, of course, that's what we're all doing as children these days. She was teaching them Greek and Latin and helping them memorize the scriptures, huge portions of scripture every day. She had 9 living children. She actually bore 19 children, and only 9 of them survived past infancy. But also, once a week for an hour, each child one-on-one, she met with them and did discipleship with them. Now you ask me, is there a categorical difference between Susanna Wesley's ordinary life, faithfulness, and Martin Luther's courage to stand? Is it true that Christian leaders are those who can receive special relationship or have influence exclusively? No. In fact, Christian leadership, the call to Christian leadership is dangerous. It's risky because teachers are called to a higher standard because of their position. But I think we need to understand that leadership, it's not about being blessed. Leadership in the church is about serving. It's about empowering the body of Christ to build one another up, spread the message to the whole world, and glorify God. So it's appropriate to reflect for a moment on Christian leadership. So those of us who are in leadership, or myself, I'm training for a position that will be in leadership, we need to always be cautious. If we're called to be in leadership, that's great. We need to exercise that with joy because we get to spread the blessing, whatever blessing we have in relationship with God, to others. But we need to be cautious. Because remember that God was able to use Balaam's donkey. Does God need us? Or God can raise up children in Abraham from stones. He doesn't need us as leaders, but he's chosen us. We need to be cautious. And I would say that I think our pastor, David Rogers, is a great example of servant leadership. He's always encouraging. And in fact, last night as I was finishing my preparation, he called me as right before he's getting on the plane just to encourage me and to pray for me. And that's empowering. And I'd like to share an example of a man whom I knew as a mentor in college who was probably the single most influential leader in my life, named as Huli Goddard. And he was a mountain man, if you've ever met one. He was the kind of guy who, when he was 15 years old, could beat up every other 13 to 16-year-old in his town, and he knew that because he had actually beat them up. It was not an idle claim. But he was saved out of the kind of Christian hippie music movement in the 60s and 70s. But this man, Huli, he had this uncanny gift of servant leadership. When you were sitting and talking to him, you were the only person in the room, or really, he was an outdoorsy guy, so you always sat outside, except when it was raining. So you were the only person in the room. And his leadership never felt heavy-handed. It was always encouraging and empowering. And we gave our best for him, as much as, you know, 18 to 21-year-olds at the time but we responded, and his leadership was so empowering and encouraging. So that's what Christian leadership is supposed to be. It's empowering servant leadership. So I'd say that our response for anyone, not all of us, most of us are not called to official leadership, but our leaders need our prayers constantly. David Rogers, Imad, Andrew Seiss, our elders, our deacons, our leaders of our smaller ministries, they need our prayers. We need to be praying for them vigilantly because they are in a dangerous position. It's a calling that's exciting, but it's dangerous. We need to be praying for them. So if the wrong way to go about blessing is through systems of prestige and power and influence, and if blessing is about relationship with God, with Christ, then it just naturally follows that the right way is just every Christian can be blessed by God. If blessing is relationship, every Christian is equally able to have that same level of relationship and intimacy with him. Jesus, in the text, wants to invert that system of blessing and say that it's not super Christians. It's the ordinary. It's the daily. It's the mundane that is what involves being blessed by God, that relationship. Look in verse 28. Jesus says, "Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it." I admit, I was actually a little surprised. When I first started reading this text, I was thinking back in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus has said, you know, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, those who hear the word of God and do it." I thought it was going to be more along those lines. You know, we need to be hearing and doing. But the more I read this text and the more I reflect on it, it's a matter of emphasis. We want to read the text as, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it." But the emphasis in this text is really, blessed is the one who will just hear the words of God and do it. What Jesus is trying to say is, oh dear sister, oh dear woman in the crowd, you don't need to have a special child to be in a special relationship with God. All you have to do, you can receive relationship with me. Just listen, do, respond to the word of God. And that's all that God wants from us as Christians. We've placed our faith in Christ, and he calls us just to daily obedience. If we think about daily obedience, we might be surprised at the opportunities that are afforded us. And I want to, as I'm going to try and apply to some of us this text, I want to make a clarification. What I'm going to say is not piling up things that we have to do to receive that relationship with God. We each have opportunities in everyday life to be involved in God's plan, in relationship with him. So just keep that in mind. So I know for a fact that mothers who stay at home wrestle frequently with, is what I'm doing significant? And let me say also, I'm a father and I've stayed at home, so dads, you're not off the hook in this either. If you've ever stayed home with young children, you run into the issue. You have the question. Well, first of all, you ask, can I do this again? Can I make it through this day? This is hard. I love my children, but this is hard. But you also run into the question, is what I'm doing, how does this, why can't I be standing up to the Catholic Church? Why can't I be doing something superb, influential? But what this text is teaching is that you, O mother, your job is vital to the kingdom of God. In fact, your love for your children, that, first of all, we saw with Susanna Wesley, you don't know where God's going. But more importantly, it's part of your calling. Part of your blessing and relationship with God is the joy of ministering to and loving your children and your family well. So be blessed in that. Enjoy that relationship. Also, might think of some of you are retired. Some of you are not able to get out of the house all that much. But I think there are two fantastic opportunities available for you in relationship. One is we need prayer so badly. We've got our prayer requests weekly in our cubbies for members, and we have already mentioned that our leaders, they need our prayers. But our fellow Christians in this body, we need prayer for one another. But more importantly, or maybe not more importantly, but of equal importance perhaps, is I am a young man. Young men, young women, we need you. We need those who have been through life, those who have walked with Christ. We need mentoring. We need relationship. And even if it doesn't feel exceptionally spiritual, we need that relationship, that fellowship. And that's ordinary stuff. That's not too hard. That's something, and we crave that. We need that community of fellowship with you. And also, for most of us who may be working a day job, do you realize how significant a walk of integrity before Christ is? You know, we may talk about how we need to, you know, we may emphasize we need to walk in integrity. But if we shift the emphasis a little bit on just walking with integrity, that is a powerful witness. You can testify to your relationship with Christ just by how you do business, how you respect your employer, how you deal with customers, clients. And that gives you opportunity to spread that to others. This is ordinary stuff. This isn't super Christianity. These are things that are available to all of us every day without fail. And we could apply this in so many different ways. But as you think about your relationship, that blessing with God, remember that every Christian can be blessed by God. It's all about relationship with Him, and He is always offering His gracious call to relationship, and He's giving us simple ways to respond. There's another sermon that'll need to be preached at some point on we need to obey, but here the text is saying you have the opportunity to experience fullness of life with God if we'll just come with willing hearts, responding to the grace given us in Christ, and do what we're called to do. Every day, normal obedience, relationship with God. And the last thing I want to mention is, I mentioned that Jesus was speaking to really poor people for the most part. And we also mentioned that blessing is not about guaranteeing physical things, material now. But we can't talk about blessing without talking about hope. So if you're sick, remember that when Christ returns, He will restore all things. Jesus said to those who are suffering now, your reward is great in heaven. You have things stored up for you. So hold on, have hope. That relationship, that intimacy can be found even now, but you have hope in the future. That blessing that right now is relationship, that relationship will entail so much more when we're with Christ forever. So this morning we've wrestled with, what is blessing with God? What does it mean to be in the blessed state? And we said that it's about relationship. Then we saw that power, prestige, influence, these are not the ways that Christians get relationship and blessing. And we've seen that the right way to get blessing is just to hear what Jesus is calling us to do and respond. So as we grow, let's remember that it's available to us. Let's look joyously for ways to hear what our Lord is speaking and respond in everyday life, because this Christian life is about extraordinary blessings that are available for ordinary believers. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You have, in Your mercy, decided to bless Your people, that You are with us, that You've promised to be with us, and that You give us opportunities to take joy in Your presence. And I pray that you would encourage my friends, my brothers and sisters in you, that you would empower us to serve one another and to honor you in simple ways. Increase our ability to love you, Holy Spirit, and be with us. In your name we pray. Amen.